ready? All right, so we are holding by the Mishnah on Yud-Aleph on the day. Mishnah says, a Pesach sheshachte shachris bavo asur shalei l'shmoy. If you took a korban Pesach and shechted it during the morning of the 14th of Nisan, and you shechted it shalei l'shmoy, so if you had shechted it at the afternoon of the 14th, shalei l'shmoy, there's no question it's possible. We learned before, Pesach shalei l'shmoy, everybody agrees it's possible. The question is, after six hours into the day. Here, though, you did it in the morning. Right. So, Rabbi Yeshua machshir ki l'nishchet b'shleish aser. Rabbi Yeshua holds it kosher just as it would be if it was shechted on the 13th, because it's not the time for it yet. It's not the time until that afternoon. Ben v'seira poiso ki l'nishchet b'ein abayim, whereas Ben v'seira holds its posel. It doesn't say which Ben v'seira. There were a few of them. There was Rabbi Yehuda Ben v'seira, there was Rabbi Yeshua Ben v'seira, whatever. Somebody from B'nai B'seira holds that it's posel ki l'nishchet b'ein abayim as if it had been shechted in the afternoon. Just like the afternoon is the time for it, and therefore if you shech the shalei l'shmoy is possible, so Ben B'seira holds the same is true in the morning, as we will see in the Gemara. We'll discuss two different opinions.
In the morning, it's possible.
So we're going to have two different opinions in the Gemara. We're going to have two different opinions. We're going to have among the Amaroi, Rabbi Lazar versus Rabbi Yechanan, is it that Ben B'seira holds it'll even be kosher if it's shechted in the morning l'shmoy? Or is it he agrees if it's shechted l'shmoy, it's possible in the morning because that's not the time for it. It has to be bein habayim. It has to be in the afternoon. However, this is how Rabbi Yechanan holds in the Gemara. However, he does say that to a limited extent, it's considered zmanoi when it comes to the morning. To that limited extent, that it should already be considered a Pesach and therefore be possible shalei l'shmoy. So we'll see. We'll get through that in the Gemara. Amar Shimon ben Azai. So now Shimon ben Azai says, this is the famous ben Azai. Usually he's just called ben Azai. Here we have rarely his first name. He says, I have a fifth opinion about what karbanos are possible if they're shalei l'shmoy or not. Mekubal ani mepi shivim u'shnayim zakeh. I have the Kabbalah from the 72 zakenim. The yom shehoshivu es Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Lazar actually, Rebbe Lazar ben Azariah, be yeshiva, on the day that they seated Rebbe Lazar ben Azariah as the Rosh Yeshiva. This is the famous story in Brachot where they deposed Rebbe Gamliel and appointed Rebbe Lazar ben Azariah as the Nasi instead, and you have the famous thing where his hair turned white overnight, etc. So on that day, they deposed Rebbe Gamliel because of the way he had been treating Rebbe Yeshua very high-handedly, where he made him withdraw his opinion as far as Kibbutz Avos Rishus and a couple of other previous things. We discussed that before. Yeah, we talk about it briefly at the end of Parashas. Anyway, so on that day, the 72 Skenim said, that all Korbanos that are eaten, that are shechted shalei l'shmon, kshevin, are kosher elo shalei elo v'ayelam l'shem chayva, but they don't count for the owner for his chayva, chutz min ha-pesach min ha-chatas, except for the pesach ha-machatas. So that sounds almost exactly like what we said in the Tanna Kamma at the beginning of the Masechta, in the first Mishnah. However, v'loi hoisef ben azei elo ha-oyla. When it comes to all the ones that are eaten, as opposed to the Tanna Kamma, just said, in the first Mishnah, we said kol ha-zvachim generically, whether they're eaten or not, except for the pesach or the chatas. So that would therefore include also the Ola is kosher if it's shalei l'shmoy. Ben Azai's version of it that he's quoting from these 72 skenim is v'loi hoisef ben Azai el ha'ola. By that, Ben Azai is implicitly adding that the Ola is possible to check the shalei l'shmoy. Because he's saying among the korbanos that are eaten, the ones that are possible if they're shalei l'shmoy are the Pesach and the Chatas. Among the ones that are not eaten, though, all of them are going to be possible if they're shalei l'shmoy. And what's the one that's not eaten? Yeah. The Ola. So therefore, so he would hold that. Well, I heard you like Chachamim. However, the other Chachamim did not agree with him on that. They held that, like we said in the first Mishnah, that's only the Pesach and the Chatas, and not the other one. So a couple of interesting things over here. First of all, how do they come to have 72 Zakenim? Normally, the Sanhedrin consists of 71. So one explanation, the Rebbe gives an answer, is we learned in Hodias about the concept of Muflush of a Beis Din, that sometimes you have the top-level Talmud Chacham in that generation, where everybody, when they themselves need to find out an answer in Torah, then they go to him. Usually he's part of the Sanhedrin, but not necessarily. So this may have been one of those examples where he wasn't. He had 71 members of the Sanhedrin, plus the Muflush. They were all present. Another
was it seemed stretched, though.
It could happen. We talked about there that not always is the Muflush a member of the Sanhedrin. You could have, for example, he's not fit to sit on the Sanhedrin for some other reason. He's a Balmorm, he's old. I don't know. History doesn't record, but the point is it could happen. Another interesting explanation is That we know from that story. Okay, again, Rabbi Gamliel had been deposed as Nasi. Rabbi Elazar and Azariah was appointed instead. However, the Gemara continues over there that Rabbi Gamliel did not take it personally. He still continued to attend the Beis Medrash and participate in the discussions over there. So therefore, you have the 70th Kenim, you have the Nasi, the new Nasi, Rabbi Elazar and Azariah, and now you have Rabbi Gamliel sitting there as well. He's the 72nd Zakim. He's not a member of the Sanhedrin anymore because he's been deposed, but nevertheless, he's still sitting. He didn't. He understood that they're doing it because he understood why they're doing it, and he still, the Gemara says that they're in Barakas. Like, Mona asked him to be Beis Medrash after the Shah, as he didn't hold himself back from coming to the Beis Medrash for even a moment. He still continued sitting over there and joining in the discussion, just like everybody else. And the Gemara brings over there a Mishnah and Yadayim, where we see that, where Boi Bayun, during the time that this was happening, during all the time that this is happening, Rabbi Gamliel is participating in the discussion as an equal with everybody else.
They never reinstated it.
They did in the end. The Gemara says over there that in the end, Rabbi Gamliel asked Mechila by Rabbi Yeshua, and they reinstated him. Actually, what they did is, so then they made it from then on that the Nesirus is rotating between him and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, two or three different Yisoris over there, two or three Shabbosim out of every month. Rabbi Gamliel would be the one giving the Jerusha, the next Shabbos would be Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So yeah. Anyway, the point, so that's another explanation how it comes that they have 72. Also, I should mention also the historian Rabbi Isaac Halevi in Doros HaRishonim has argues on the basis of various lines of evidence. He claims that during that period, it was actually very unusual for the full Sanhedrin of 71 or 72 to assemble.
Yeah.
He claims on the basis of various Gemaras and Lahavdo on things that we find from Goyeshe historians, that during that period, there was a great danger from the Romans. If all the Chachamim are gathered together, they're liable to accuse them of plotting against the empire or who knows what. So in general, he learns that during this period, they usually didn't have all of them on hand. In this case, when they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, unusually, they decided, this is it. One way or another, we got to settle all the outstanding issues all the outstanding machlokas in halacha, and therefore, we have no choice. We'll have to gather the whole 72 together and take our chances with the Romans. It was actually, so he goes on to say, again, based on things that we find in the Gemara and Lahavdil and Goyeshe historian, that the upshot of it is that in the end, the Romans did get wind of it, and they forced them to leave Yavne and to relocate to Usha in the north of Eretz Yisrael, like a little. They didn't arrest them necessarily, but they did force them to, yeah. Okay, anyway. So why is it below Hodu lo Chachamim? So one thing is because, fine, you had 72 Chachamim saying this. But the other Chachamim, there may have been many other Chachamim there also who disagreed with them. They still might have outvoted them. Another possibility that some of the Mefarshim explain is Ben Azai is not saying that they explicitly said that an Olo is a Pasul Shalei Lishmai. They use the expression Kolos Vachem Aneh Cholim. And Ben Azai is deducing from that that it meant they meant to accept the Olo. But not necessarily. The other Chachamim say that's an incorrect deduction, an incorrect interpretation of what they're saying. Okay.
But it's just Kolos Vachem, so that's it.
Kolos Vachem HaNer Cholim would mean tackle all the ones that are eaten as opposed to the Oyla. But still, they could argue that maybe they just used the expression HaNer Cholim because most Korbanos are eaten or whatever. Maybe they didn't necessarily mean to phrase it that way in order to exclude the Oyla. Yeah. Okay.
Which makes sense. They would have excluded the Oyla more explicitly.
Maybe. Okay. No, but we have a rule, Oyla Mishandot and Tamidu Zelach. Sorry, you're always supposed to use the shortest possible Lashon when you're teaching. This is the shortest possible Lashon to exclude the Oyla, to say Kolos Vachem HaNer Cholim.
Yeah.
All right, so let's discuss the two opinions in the first part of our Mishnah about the Pesach. Again, whether if it's shechted on the morning of Yudalad Nisan, Shalom Lishmoy, is it kosher like Rabbi Yeshua says, or is it kosher like Ben Bethel? So let's analyze that. Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Yishya, Machir Hoya Ben Bethelah Pesach Shoshafin B'Shachris Ba'Avo Asa Lishmoy. Ben Beseder would hold not only that the Korban Pesach is already considered, that it's already the Zman of it in the morning insofar as the Dinim of Shalom Lishmoy. He would hold that the Pesach is even kosher if you do it Lishmoy and you shech it on the morning of the 14th. Because he holds the Kula Yom is Imnehu. He holds the entire day is the proper time for shechting Korban Pesach.
From when?
From the morning. We'll see. We're going to figure out. Umay ki'ilu. So why does Ben Beseira use the expression in the Mishnah that he passes it ki'ilu nishchat bein ha'avayim as if it was shechted in the afternoon, implying that only if it was shechted in the afternoon, shaloi l'shmoi would it be possible, implying that the morning is not really like the afternoon in that regard. Why did he use that expression? Because since Rabbi Yeshua does hold that the morning is possible, even if it's shalai, even if it's lishmai, and only in the afternoon is it kosher lishmai, so Rabbi Yeshua has to mention the keilu that the morning of the 14th is like the 13th, in that it's definitely possible. So therefore, Ben Vesera also uses the word keilu, even though according to him there's no real difference between the morning and the afternoon.
That's not a good.
But it's a reason to say.
Not because one says it, but the other one.
Yeah, so therefore they use the same lashon. Okay, so the question is, the mitzvah gives shaloi l'shmoi, lifts the gubah l'shmoi. According to that logic, then, why in the Mishnah are they only arguing about the case of shaloi l'shmoi? Let them argue about a more straightforward case. You shechted at l'shmoi on the morning of the 14th. Is it kosher or pasul? Rabbi Yeshua holds no, Ben Vesera holds yes. If you're saying that Ben Vesera holds it's actually kosher l'shmoi on the morning of the 14th, why not present the machlokas that way?
Rather than
talking about the case of shaloi l'shmoi. The answer is E, it's Lugub Lishmoy, yes, but if they only argued about the case where you shechted at Lishmoy, having in mind that it's a Pesach, then you would mistakenly think, Ava B'Shaloi Lishmoy, Modi Rabbi Yeshua, Ben Vesera. You would think maybe when it comes to Shaloi Lishmoy, maybe Rabbi Yeshua would agree with Ben Vesera. In other words, if we only had, if the Mishnah had told us that they argue if you shechted on the morning of the 14th, Lishmoy, that Ben Vesera holds its kosher and Rabbi Yeshua holds its posel, you would say, okay, that's when it's Lishmoy. That Ben Vesera holds the morning as the proper time for it, but they would agree if it was Shaloi Lishmoi, you would say that maybe Rabbi Yeshua would also agree that it is possible because to that limited extent, Holam Ksase Roy, because since part of that day is a suitable time for it, maybe we would consider the whole day is suitable for it. Kamash Malan, therefore, by presenting it, that's a machlokas about Shaloi Lishmoi, we're clear now that Rabbi Yeshua does not hold like Ben Vesera at all. Not as far as Shaloi Lishmoi, where he holds its kosher, and not as far as Lishmoi, where he would hold its possible.
So the only one who holds
As a matter of fact, actually, no. It's only Ben Vesera who holds that, or coins are Velazar anyway, that the Pesach is kosher if it's shechted on the morning of the 14th.
Right.
Everybody else holds it's possible. In fact, Tosfos brings up the point. The fact is, the way the Machlokas is presented in the Mishnah, you could misunderstand Ben Vesera's opinion. You could misunderstand him to say that it's only on the morning of the 14th, it's possible Shaloi Lishmoi, because he's saying to that limited extent we consider it to be Zmanu, but maybe he would hold, as in fact Rabbi Yochanan is going to learn later in Ben Vesera's opinion, that if you shecht at Lishmoi, L'shem Korban Pesach, that it would be possible. Why aren't we concerned about that we might misunderstand his opinion as far as that goes?
The Mishnah is
presenting their opinion, their machlokas as far as being shaloi l'shmoi on the morning. Now, there's two ways then that you can understand Ben Vesera. So fine, we're clear on what Rabbi Yeshua holds. Rabbi Yeshua definitely holds that kosher if it is kosher shaloi l'shmoi, and necessarily therefore he would also hold that it is possible shaloi l'shmoi because according to him the morning of the 14th is completely not his mind. But the way the machlokas is presented, on the face of it, you could misunderstand Ben Vesera's opinion. You could understand it like Rabbi Lazar understands it, that it means that he holds Shaloi Lishmoi is possible, but Lishmoi is actually kosher in the morning. Or you could understand it like Rabbi Yochanan, that Shaloi Lishmoi is possible, and Lishmoi is also possible in the morning.
Because it's not the time yet. Why aren't we considering,
according to Rabbi Lazar,
if you understood it the second way you just mentioned, there would still be a difference between both.
Yeah, you would say that you mean the difference between him and Rabbi Yeshua?
Yeah,
you would say that Rabbi Yeshua would hold Lishmoy is kosher because the wrong time. Shaloi Lishmoy is kosher because not yet a Pesach, still a Shlomim, and a Shlomim Shaloi Lishmoy is kosher. Whereas Ben Vesera would hold the other way around. So again, there's two possibilities within Ben Vesera. The way the Mishnah is presenting the opinion of Ben Vesera, you would know that he holds that if you shecht it Shaloi Lishmoi in the morning, it's possible, because that's a Pesach Shaloi Lishmoi, and a Pesach Shaloi Lishmoi Bizmano is possible. You wouldn't necessarily know whether he holds that if you shecht it Lishmoi, whether it's kosher or not, which in fact is what Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing on.
But if he holds that it's kosher Shaloi Lishmoi.
No, he holds the posel Shaloi Lishmoi. Right. He holds the posel Shaloi Lishmoi on the morning of the 14th because that's its time.
Right.
The question is, does he mean it's fully at the time? In other words, you can check the Ben Lishmoi and it'll actually be kosher, or is it only to a limited extent at the time? Okay. You still there?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, so we're holding near the bottom of Yud Aleph on the base. We're in the middle. We're in the middle of the Gemara over there, about five lines below the Gemara.
Okay. Which one's that?
Zvachim Yud Aleph on the base. Yeah.
Okay. I'm at a town, so I'm going to listen in just to get my feet wet. for about 20 minutes, okay? Yeah.
Sounds good to me. Okay.
Shkoyach.
Okay. 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 His name is Daich. Abraham Moshe Daich, actually, your namesake. Anyway. Okay. Okay, so where were we? Again, the way the Mishnah is presenting Ben Beseder's opinion, we're saying that he's only saying Ke'ilu in order to be parallel with what Rabbi Yeshua is saying. So fine, what Rabbi Yeshua is saying is clear. The mooning of the 14th of Nisan is not at all as man for the Pesach, not as far as making it kosher if you shecht it l'shmoy, and not as far as making it possible if you shecht it shalo l'shmoy. Then the Seder's opinion, we could now, the way the Mishnah is presenting it, it's clear he says if you shecht it the morning of the 14th, shalo l'shmoy is possible. To that extent, he holds that it's manoy. Rabbi Lazar is learning him to say that it means that also if you shecht it l'shmoy is kosher, because it's also manoy for that purpose, but the Mishnah is not making that clear. So Tosfos brings up the point, why are we not concerned about that? Why are we not concerned that we may misunderstand Ben Beseder's opinion? The same way as the Gemara is saying that we wanted to present the Machlokas the way it is in order to make clear Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. So Tosfos says that proves that actually not that proves. But Tosfos says, as a matter of fact, doesn't matter. The Halacha is not like Ben Beseder anyway. Nobody else holds like him. Therefore, if we misunderstand his opinion, big deal. However, the Rambam does not learn like that. The Rambam actually does hold the Halacha is like Ben Beseder. He can learn that the halacha is like Ben Beseder. The Kesef Mishnah is, well, so we'll see in what sense. Again, not like Rabbi Lazar is saying that he would hold the Pesach as kosher if it's shechted the morning of the 14th. He would agree, the Rambam would hold like Rabbi Yisrael later, that that's possible. Only to the limited extent of that if you shechted Shaloi L'Shmoi on the morning of Erev Pesach, that will be possible because now it's a Pesach with Manoi that's possible. That's Shaloi L'Shmoi and it's possible. Why does the Rambam pass him like Ben Beseder? The Kesef Mishnah says, because since we see that Rabbi Lazar and later on Rabbi Yechanan are going through and trying to figure out exactly what Ben Beseder holds, that must mean the halacha is like him. Otherwise, why would the Gemara bother? We would just say, okay, the halacha is not like Ben Beseder, that's that. The fact that the Amoraim are doing this whole shock of the carrier to try and understand Ben Beseder's opinion says that the Rambam says the halacha must be like Ben Beseder. Yes. Now, again, Tosfos disagrees with that, but Ivan disagrees with that because they say the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua. They say that the in general throughout I don't know if they hold because the general rule is halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua against Ben Beseder. I don't remember exactly what their reasoning is, but whatever. Okay, let's go on. Okay.
So in other words, Sfarim
Mashmir. No, it's not a matter of Sfarim Mashmir. We don't have to come and pay stuff nowadays anyway. So when Mashiach comes, it'll be decided. A lot of these things, when you get down to it, these things are what the Gemara elsewhere called Filchatim Mashiach. In a way, it's like it's almost not relevant to decide who the halacha is like, because when Mashiach comes, the Sanhedrin will decide at that point who the halacha is like. Well, Yohan will tell us, or whatever. But nevertheless, it's still all part of Torah.
Today,
the halacha would be like the Rambam, I guess, because he's the only, in general, he's the only Rishon who deals with these dinim on an ongoing basis. You have the Raiva and Tosfos and whatever deal with them here and there, but the Rambam is. Okay. Anyway. All right. So anyway, so that's the point. So if Ligu B'Lashmoy, if the Machloikas had been presented about if you shecht the Korban Pesach L'Shmoy on the morning of Erev Pesach, Hava Amina Ava Shaloi L'Shmoy Moedir Rabbi Yeshua Ben Beseder, you would think that maybe when it comes to Shaloi L'Shmoy, Rabbi Yeshua agrees with Ben Beseder, that it will be possible. Horel M'Tzosei Roy, because there will be part of that day that is Roy, that is suitable for bringing the Korban Pesach, namely the afternoon, exactly. Kamash Malon, that is the Chiddush, therefore, that is the Chiddush. By presenting the Machloikas this way, it's clear that Rabbi Yeshua does not agree with Ben Beseder at all. Not as far as Lashmoy and not as far as Shalom Lashmoy. Okay. Fine. The question is, how can you say that Ben Beseder says you can bring the Korban Pesach and Lashmoy and Rabbi Kosher in the morning, Bachtiv Bein Ha'abayim? The Pasuk says you have to bring it Bein Ha'abayim, which for Pashtus means in the afternoon. Rashi explains on the Pasuk, how does Bein Ha'abayim mean the afternoon? Because the Erev means when the sun is starting to set. So you have two stages in it. You have when it starts to set towards the west, namely after Hatzos, when it starts descending in the sky. That's the first Erev. And the second Erev is when it sets below the horizon. So between those two are Robin, is when you have to bring it, between the afternoon. How is Ben Beseder? That's what's called Ben Arbaim, Rashi points on the puzzle. The first Erev and the second Erev. So how is Rabbi Lazar understanding Ben Beseder over here to be saying that you could bring the Korban Pesach in the morning? The answer is, Oma Ula, Brezer Rabbi Loi. Yes. Oma Ula, Brezer Rabbi Loi, then Shnei Arbaim. Okay, but Ula Brezer Rabbi Loi says, okay, what Rabbi Lazar can understand, how Ben Beseder would learn, is that it means between the two evenings. In other words, you have another way of looking at it is the first evening is the end of the night between the 13th and the 14th. by Alois HaShachar. The second evening is when the sun sets at the end of that same day. So not, in other words, only from Chatzos until Shkia, but from Alois HaShachar until Shkia, from the end of the previous night, yeah.
But who understands that they're not buying the
Shkia? Apparently, you're a Bechdel Seder, can understand it that way. So the question is, Tomid Dechtibbe Ben HaBayim, what about the Korban Tomid, where it says that you bring the afternoon one Ben HaBayim, Hachinami to Kula Jemim Hasha, you're going to say that the afternoon Tomid is brought the whole day? Yeah. The answer is no. Then the Seder will agree that has to be one in the morning, one in the afternoon. Hossam Midichtib, as a Kevas Echad Tasa Baboker, since the Pasuk explicitly says that one sheet you should bring in the morning, McCraw, the Ben HaBayim, Ben HaBayim Mamash. So there, necessarily, you have to say it means the second one is in the afternoon. Because as I said, the first one is in the morning. So that makes it clear that the first one is sometime during the first half of the day.
Otherwise, everything else you would say Ben HaBayim means
yeah.
The previous night.
Well, that's what we have to hear. Okay, the question is, Emachad Baboto Idis Kula Yoma. Fine, but maybe what the Pasuk means, the first one has to be sometime during the morning. The second one could be, like our new definition of Ben HaBayim, any time during the day. So one in the morning, and one could be also in the morning, could be in the afternoon, could be whatever. How do you know that not? The answer is, Echad Baboker V'Leshnayim Baboker. Yes, but the Pasuk says that you do one in the morning, you find Davka one in the morning, no more than one and only one. So therefore, there it's clear that Ben HaBayim has to be in the afternoon, because the Pasuk is explicitly telling us that you don't have Echad, that you only have Echad, you only have one single one in the morning. But not two. So therefore, of necessity, the second one has to be left for the evening. Doesn't show that when you have Ben HaBayim without a meal like that, that it should necessarily mean the afternoon.
So he would say, you don't have your first Korban Tamid.
No, so okay, well, right, exactly. With the Korban Tamid, it has to be one in the morning, one in the afternoon. But other than that, Ben HaBayim conceivably could mean the whole day. Okay, what about another one? Neiros. What about lighting the lamps of the menorah? Dichtib ben ha'abayim. There also it says it has to be ben ha'abayim. Hachinami to kula yom kosher. Are you going to say it's kosher to do it any time during the day? The fact is you only do it in the evening. Actually, the truth is that Amman holds that you light them twice. That Amman holds you light them in the morning and in the evening. Everybody else disagrees with him on that. But everybody agrees, even that Amman agrees, the main mitzvah of lighting the menorah is in the evening. For that reason, for example, when you have if I remember correctly, the halacha is if you have a new menorah that has never been used before, running a mechanechet with lighting the menorah in the evening, because you can't validly be mechanechet by lighting in the morning. So he holds that when they clean it out in the morning, they also light it at that point. Everybody else learns that when they clean it out in the morning, it means they clean it and then they leave it sitting there unlit until the evening, and then they actually light it. Okay, anyway. Be that as it may, again, by the menorah, it says Ben HaBayim, you're going to say it means you could do it any time during the day. So again, it's only done in the afternoon. The answer is, again, shiny hot. So again, Ben Becerra will hold that it's different over there. Just give me Erev Vad Boker, because you have another passage that says that it takes place from evening until morning. So Davka, Betanya, we live in a brighter. What does it mean, me Erev Vad Boker? What does it mean that you light the menorah from evening till morning? It means Hen Lami Dasa, that means put enough oil in each of the lamps. That there should be enough for it to burn from the evening until the morning. So what is it actually? So what does it mean? Actually, it actually points out from the Gemara in Menachos, the length of the night, of course, varies at different times during the year. The Chachamim calculated that even for the longest nights during the year, the nights of Korban Tamid, the nights right after the winter solstice, the amount of oil that you need in order to burn the entire night, I guess the average 5 wicks, is a half a lug. So therefore, that became the shear. The shear is a half a lug for each lamp of the menorah. So therefore, on the longest night, that's exactly as much as you need, and in the morning, they're all going out. The rest of the year, there's going to be some left over in the morning. That's okay. But that's the point. The Pasuk is teaching us you have to make sure you put enough oil in there for them to burn through the entire night.
Implying that.
Well, wait. Dover Acher, or another explanation. Ein lecha avoda kosher me'erevad boker elazu. There's no other avoda that's kosher if you do it from evening till morning, meaning that you do it late in the day and it burns through the night, except this one. All other avodas have to be done during the day. This one is done at the end of the day and it burns through the night. The point is, based on that me'erevad boker, we see clearly that it has to have to be in the afternoon. So you can't claim over there that Ben HaBayim means any time during the day, because Me'erev Ad Boker tells us to not understand that. Again, still doesn't show with the Korban Pesach, where you don't have the expression Me'erev Ad Boker, and you don't have the word Esakevas Echad Tasav Ad Boker, any such thing, that maybe Ben Becerra can still say it means all day, any time during the day.
Let me ask you a question. Why don't we ask a question from
From what?
From Parshas Bereishis, right here, right?
What does that have to do with anything? That's the day on Bayim over there.
We would know when Erev is and when
Berker. We know when Erev is. We know what Berker is. The question is, what's Bein Ha'abayim? Bein Ha'abayim, again, it's from the first Erev of noon until the second Erev of sunset, or is it the first Erev, the end of the previous Erev, until the end of this Erev? So is it a 12-hour period, or is it a 6-hour period? Okay. Fine. What about Keturah? What about when it comes to burning the Keturah on the Mizbeach Hazav? Yichtiv v'Bein HaBayim. There also you have the expression Bein HaBayim. Hachinami d'kulu yom kosher. Over there again, are you going to argue Ben Bethesda that you can burn the Keturah anytime during the morning? And there also, actually, you have, again, the Keturah is another one of those things that's done twice a day. You have Prat Peshach, which is Prat Bein HaBayim, as you say in that thing. But the fact is, you don't do the whole thing only. You don't do the whole thing all at once. You do half at what you have, the pasuk says, one half of it in the morning and then one half in the afternoon. The answer is shiny keturah to itkash for neiros. The difference is keturah is prepared. It's actually put in the same process with the neiros. That when I know we say in morning davening. Then he should burn the keturah. So when he's lighting the neiros is when he burns the keturah. So therefore, there again, Bein HaBayim, just like with the Benurah, has to adopt the mean in the afternoon. It can't mean in the morning.
Because it goes together
with the Neiros. Okay. So therefore, we don't have any reason to claim that the Pesach can't be the whole morning like the Seder says. Okay, so the question is, Hosam Nami Siv, Shom Tizbach as a Pesach Ba'orev. Fine, but when it comes to the code of Pesach, you also have, besides that it says Bein HaBayim in Parashas Bo'i, where it's first introduced, you also have in Parashas Re'eh, where it repeats the mitzvah of bringing the code of Pesach. It says over there that you have, that you shech the code of Pesach Ba'orev in the evening. And there, Ba'orev obviously means in the evening. So what possibilities do you have? Okay, the answer is, there it says clearly. Okay, the answer is Ahu li uchot jago hu da'asa. Okay, but then the Seder will hold that word, but erev does not mean that the only time to bring it is in the afternoon. It means it teaches us the concept of yuchah, the concept like this. You according to Ben Maseira, again, you're able to bring the carbon pay back in the morning. However, if you waited until the afternoon and brought it then it can only be brought after the Talmud Shaben Habayim and not before it. The Tanya, as we learn in Abraisa, how do we know? Now, in general, we have most korbanos during the day have to be brought between the Talmud Shachar and the Talmud Shaben Habayim. Usually, no korbanos are allowed to be brought after the Talmud Shaben Habayim. We say every day in davening, we say at the end of Habayah Avon Asadah, Allah HaHashlen Kol HaKorbanos Kulam. With the korban Talmud of the afternoon, it's completed all the korbanos of the day. So normally, nothing else goes after the Talmud. The korban Pesach is almost the only exception to that. And so the question is, why? How do we know the Korban Pesach takes place after the Talmud Shaben Habayim? Even to the extent that we say, on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, we say that if the Korban Pesach was shechted before the Korban Talmud, you have to have them with somebody over there stirring the blood of the Korban Pesach to prevent it from congealing until you sprinkle the blood of the Talmud, and only then you can sprinkle the blood of the Pesach. So the Pesach does have to be added
before.
You're not supposed to. But if you did, but yeah, then you should be sprinkling, then you should be, yeah. But the blood of it always has to be sprinkled after the Talmud. So the question is why? Netanya, we learn in a Braita, in Pesachim. The logic is like this. We should make later something, namely the Korban Pesach, about which it says that you bring it for Erev, as well as it says Bein HaBayim, that should be later. Logically, that should be later than something where the Torah only says that it takes place Bein HaBayim, namely the Talmud of the afternoon. So therefore, the word Ba'erev, so therefore, right, exactly, the combination of Ba'erev and Ben HaBayim has to be later than Ben HaBayim, period, right. So therefore, so Ben Beseder will understand, according to Rav Elazar, that we're not saying the Korban Pesach can only be brought in the Erev. It can be brought in the morning. However, if you delayed it until the afternoon, then the Talmud Shel Ben HaBayim has to come first on the basis of this Yuchar. But not to say that it couldn't be brought in the morning. Okay, so you want to ask, what's the logic? Well, me,
says Ben HaBayim.
Only by the Korban Pesach, then you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know which one comes first. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, so what's the logic? If you check it in the morning, and with Bimnehu, then you're going to say that's the proper time for it, the kosher of the Korban. The Chib Moti Ben HaBayim, but then when it comes the afternoon, you're not saying grab it as fast as possible, so the mitzvah has been delayed to do it as fast as possible. Instead, Amarti Yuchot Dover, and now you're saying you should delay it until after the Talmud Shel Ben HaBayim. What's the logic? The answer is ain. Yes, you have such logic, and I can give you another example from Tfilas. The Ha'amar Rabbi Yechanan, because we find that Rabbi Yechanan says, Halacha mispalal shom mincha v'achakach mispalal shom musafim. Suppose you have a person did not daven musaf. Suppose a person did not daven musaf in the morning, so it already came the time of mincha. So Rabbi Yechanan said, now so that there's an example. The musaf, the tefillah of musaf, in principle you can say any time during the day. Let me try that again. You can say musaf any time from the morning, any time from Netzachama, and it's supposed to be after Shachris. It can be any time after Shemana Esrei of Shachris, until you have two different opinions in Brachos. You have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that you're supposed to say it till 7 hours in the day. You have the Chachamim say you can say it till Shkia. The Gemara says that if you do it after 7 hours, it's called Peshaya. You will care. Be that as it may, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have a certain overlap over there because you have that musaf you can be davening until 7 hours into the day. Mincha, the earliest you can daven is 6.5 hours into the day. So even according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a little bit of an overlap. According to Chacham, there's a much larger overlap because you have from 6.5 hours till Shkia. And Rabbi Yechanan is saying, again, you could have davened musaf in the morning, but if you didn't daven in the morning and now you want to daven in the afternoon and it's already the time for mincha, daven mincha first. So therefore, by the same law, because mincha is more tadir, because mincha happens more often. This is another example of tadir v'sheinei tadir. So therefore, by the same logic over here, you could say, yes, the Korban Pesach could have been brought in the morning, but if you didn't bring it in the morning and you waited until the afternoon, then the tadir comes first, again, because tadir. Yes, again, because tadir, and actually because anyway, we have the yo'ucho dover, we have the limud from Erev plus Bein Arba'im and the plus Bein Arba'im. By the way, this that was saying in the Gemara over here that you daven mincha first and not musaf is actually not so simple. First of all, the Rambam writes that it only applies if you do it b'yachid. The Rambam writes that if you do it with sibur, you shouldn't do that because the sibur is liable to get confused. They're not going to realize in the future that musaf is really supposed to be before mincha. They're going to think that they're going to make the mistake of thinking that mincha should be first. So if it's with sibur, you should do musaf first. Aside from that, in Shulchan Aruch it discusses, the Magen Avraham discusses, the Albert Ebert Turin discusses in his Shulchan Aruch, that actually, primarily this only applies if you need to daven mincha, for example, you want to eat your Shabbos soda, and you're not supposed to eat a big soda before mincha, then you should be davening mincha first in order that then you can have your Shabbos soda and you'll daven mincha later in the day. However, if it's not that you must daven mincha right now, then go ahead and if you're anyway going to only be eating
a big soda.
You're not, in general, you're not supposed to eat a big soda before mincha because you may end up eating the soda too long and missing mincha. So therefore, again, the Magen Avraham brings up a point that if you have a shamash or a shul clopper or whatever who regularly goes around and reminds everybody about mincha, then that's different, then you can be makel on that. But be that as it may, the point is, if there's the alphabet,
sometimes the other thing people say, you know, we're going to make kiddush before mincha, that's it, because you don't do it, don't double mincha before you make kiddush.
So in truth, if there's a concern that you're going to get too long into your meal and miss mincha, then you're not supposed to do that. Okay, the Gemara actually discusses in Shabbos, really, is it before mincha gdola, is it only when it comes to time of mincha kana? That's a whole other discussion. But whatever, the point is that in this case, let's say you're not in a hurry to daven mincha right now, because let's say you're only going to be having your sugar later anyway, then it's another exception, then go ahead and daven mincha first, even if you're beyond. Okay. Be that as it may, though, the point is you do have cases when you daven mincha before musaf, even though, again, if you had daven musaf earlier in the day, then you would have davened it. You would have davened it in the morning. So therefore, by the same logic, we can apply to the Korban Pesach.
You don't say that musaf is linked to shachar.
Not necessarily, right. Okay. Fine. All right. So the question is, fine, but if you're going to understand it that way, if you're going to understand that the word can mean the entire day, then you have to ask the question, why b'chlal does it bother mentioning those expressions in connection with the k'turis, in connection with the menorah? Given that anyway you're going to need other words in the Talmud, we said before that according to Ben Beseda, again, we're saying Bein Habayim can mean the whole day, and therefore when it comes to the menorah, the pasuk has to clarify and say Me'erev Ad Boker. In that case, why bother saying Bein Habayim in the first place? Mela, if we say that Bein Habayim itself means the afternoon, then okay, Me'erev Ad Boker is clarifying that what we said before, that it means that you need a certain amount of oil for the menorah, and it means that you shouldn't say it's the only avodah that's kosher from evening till morning. But if you say that Bein HaRabayim in and of itself means the whole day, then you're leaving the thing wide open. Why even bother saying the word Bein HaRabayim in the first place? Just say Me'ed Avad Boker and have done with it. And besides that, I have another question how you can say that that's what it means. We find in a Braita, Heishiv Rebbe Tachas Ben Beseira, Rebbe answered in place of Ben Beseira, meaning I guess Ben Beseira wasn't available, the Rebbe filled in for him to answer as follows, L'divri Rebbe Yeshua, to answer what Rebbe Yeshua says, that Rebbe Yeshua in the Mishnah is saying again that the morning of the 14th of Nisan is not the time for the Korban Pesach, and therefore it's kosher just as if it was, therefore with Shloi L'Shmar it's kosher just as if you had shechted it Shloi L'Shmar on the 13th, it becomes a Shlomim. The Rebbe answered, standing in for Ben Beseira, L'divri Rebbe Yeshua, according to Rebbe Yeshua, he says, Loi, no, you can't compare the morning of the 14th to the day of the 13th. Yes, you can say that the Pesach of the Shechted Shloi L'Shmar on the 13th is kosher. It's a valid Shlomim. The difference is, Shein Nechkofei Roy, no part of the 13th of Nisan is a valid time for the Korban Pesach. Toima Baba also Shein Nechkofei Roy, how can you compare to the 14th where part of that day, the afternoon of that day, is a kosher time for the Korban Pesach? Therefore, that should extend to that extent to the morning. Now, if you're going to understand Ben Beseira the way Rabbi Lazar has been understanding it, what is Rebbe saying in place of Ben Beseira that only part of the day is Roy for the Korban Pesach? Kulei Roy Hu. According to that logic, the whole day is Roy to bring the Korban Pesach. According to the second verse that makes it clear that even Ben Beseira is not saying that the morning is a proper time to bring the Korban Pesach. He holds only Mitzvah Roy. Part of that day is a suitable time to bring the Korban Pesach, implying if you brought it in the morning, the Shmai, it would be possible. Not like Rabbi Lazar was understanding that he would hold a kosher. So no, never mind. We can't accept Rabbi Lazar's understanding. Ela Amar Rabbi Yechanan. So no, rather Rabbi Yechanan says no. Here's how you need to understand Ben Beseira. Poisel Hoya Ben Beseira Pesach Shachter Rabbah to Shachris Ben Mishmoy Ben Shalad Mishmoy. Ben Beseira would Taka agree that a Korban Pesach would hold that the Korban Pesach was shechted on the morning of the 14th. Is possible, whether it's Lashmoy, whether it's Shalai Lashmoy, Hoyle Mekhtasei Roy, and that's where we're using this Mekhtasei Roy logic. Since the afternoon is the only time when it's valid Lashmoy, therefore, to a certain extent, the whole 14th is considered Zmanoi, but only insofar as the genim of Lashmoy and Shalai Lashmoy. Not for anything else. Not as far as making it actually kosher. And again, this is that, so not that if you shecht at the Shmoy, it'll be kosher, he'll still agree it's possible. So never mind all of these things that we were trying to argue that Bein HaRabayim, according to him, can mean the whole day, and therefore, et cetera, nothing of that. Bein HaRabayim, he holds like everybody else, means only the afternoon. The only extent to which he says that the morning of the 14th is considered Zmanoi is only insofar as that if you shecht at Shaloi L'Shmoy, then it will be considered still a Pesach, it will be considered a Pesach Shaloi L'Shmoy rather than a Shlomim Shaloi L'Shmoy. And therefore, be possible. Which Rabbi Shura again disagrees with and says that'll be a Shlomim.
If you consider that the time to shef is in the afternoon, and when you shef is in the morning, it's not Shlomim Lishmoy.
That's the point. He holds that since Mitzvah Roy, since part of that day itself is suitable to bring the Korban Pesach, therefore that makes, to that limited extent, the whole day is considered Zmanah. But only to that limited extent. So therefore, it doesn't become a Shlomim, and therefore it remains a Pesach, and now it's a Pesach that was shechted, Shalom the Shmoy, there's Manoi, which is possible. But other than that, if it was on the 13th or any other day, sure, it would be a Shlomim and it would be kosher. That's it. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua disagrees with that and says, no, the morning of the 14th, granted, okay, part of the 14th is the time for the Korban Pesach. However, the morning is not. Even you, Ben Beseira, are agreeing with that, that it's not the actual time for the Korban Pesach, therefore that it'll be possible for the Lashmoy. Therefore, I hold it the same as the 13th, same as any other day of the year. It's kosher, it's a Shlomim. It's kosher, Shlomim, Lashmoy, because it becomes a Shlomim. Yeah. Okay. That's Rabbi Yochanan's explanation. However, Megadeth Bar Rabbah Bohu. However, Rabbah Bohu objected to it. We've learned before the expression Megadeth, it means he made a very strong objection. We brought from the Gaonim that... No, Megadeth, one meaning of Megadeth is like cursing, like Megadeth, like Megadeth and the Ovid Avodah Zarah from Sanhedrin. But over here, we mentioned before, the Gaonim have an explanation that Megadeth means like when you wipe a plate clean, it can be described with the verb Megadeth. So therefore, it means like Rabbi Bo made an expression with a hand like that. Like, what are we talking? What are you talking about? Meaning, he asks like this. In case, if you're going to say, Rabbi Yechanan, you're saying that according to Ben Beseira, the morning of the 14th of Nisan is considered already the Zman for the Korban Pesach, to the extent that if you shecht it Shalom Shmoy, it'll be possible. Mixtape, right. Well then, in Ken, Pesach Kosher, to the extent that if you shecht it Shalom Shmoy, it'll already be considered a Pesach rather than a Shlomim, and therefore it'll be possible. Well, in Ken, Pesach Kosher, the Ben Beseira, Heichem Ashkachach Lo. In that case, how, according to Ben Beseira, are you going to have a case where you're able to designate your Korban Pesach and have it be kosher? Because, as we're going to go on in the sugya to explain that, again, we're asking within Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Now, Rabbi Yochanan himself, as we're going to see soon, as we're going to see at the bottom of the Omer, holds that there's a concept. Now, okay, you have a concept like this. In some cases, with Kodshim and with other things, you have a concept called Dichui. You have a concept that something was at one point kosher for a korban or for the mitzvah or what have you, then something happened to change its status, and now it's kosher, and that's called Dichui. Rabbi Yochanan holds, once a korban became nidcha, once it became pushed off, that it can't be used as a korban, Rabbi Yochanan holds that in general, it's not nira again, it cannot become kosher again. But now, Rabbi Bo is asking like this, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who's saying that Ben Beseder will hold the 14th of Nisan, the morning is considered to a limited extent the time for the korban Pesach, but not enough to make it actually kosher, well then, on the morning of the 14th, it'll become nidcha. Because according to him, if you shecht it there, even the Shmoy, it's possible. So how does it become Nira again in the afternoon?
Once it's
Nira, according to Rabbi Yechon, it's not Nira again, yeah. So Im Kain, Pesach Koshel Ben Beseira, Heichem Ashkachasla. So according to Ben Beseira, according to Rabbi Yechon's understanding of Ben Beseira, how are you ever going to have a Koshel Koshel Pesach? If you designated it on that day, on the morning of the 14th, Dochin Yikrehu. Then you have it nidcha right away, because at that point, according to Ben Beseira, it's not according to everybody, it's not yet the time for bringing it. The idah for shinu me'esmo, and if you designated it before Pesach, yirav nidcha, then it'll be, it was suitable before, because it could have been brought before the shlomim. Now it's nidcha, because according to Ben Beseira, on the morning it'll be possible as any kind of korban, whether you had in mind Pesach or whether you had in mind shlomim, it's going to be possible according to Ben Beseira. So then it's not, so either way, at one point it was nidcha to begin with, or it was nirav nidcha, so how is it going to work? According to Rabbi Yeshua, you wouldn't have a problem. According to Rabbi Yeshua, you would say the morning of the 14th is b'chlal, not the time for it, not in any sense. And if you shecht it then, shalom l'shmar, it'll become a shlomim. Okay, well then good. It's not nidcha, because it could have been brought to the korban on the morning of the 14th. Doesn't matter. Nidcha means it can't be brought to the korban at all. Right. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, you don't have a problem. But according to Ben Beseira, it becomes a shlomim. But kosher is a shlomim in the morning. It's kosher is a Pesach in the afternoon, so it was never nidcha. But according to Ben Beseira, during that half of the day, it's going to be nidcha. So either it can't be a Pesach, can't be a shlomim. So if you designate it at any time before that, then it becomes nidcha come that morning. If you designate it that same day, it's dochoy right then and there. So how does it work? And according to Rabbi Yeshua, either way, it can never come back, right? Okay, according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Ben Beseira, the only way for the Pesach to be kosher would be if you designated it after Chatzos. So then at that point, it becomes that it's suitable to be brought to Shmoy. According to him, you're right. If you were to designate it any time before that, it would be possible. Abaya says, you don't have to say that. Afilu Tema Mitzakra. You could even say that according to Ben Beseira, you could designate it in the morning. And it's not considered nidch, it's not considered dochoy me'ikre, it's not considered that it's disqualified to begin with, because ein mechusas man lebeiva yoyim, because Abaya will say, there's no such, even according to Ben Beseira, there's no such thing as mechusas man when it's going to be kosher later that day. Mechusas man means that it's not yet the time for it. So yes, one way that a korban can mean nidcha is where it's mechusas man, where the time has not come yet for it to be brought as a korban, which there can be a number of different scenarios. One scenario could be when it's not old enough yet, as we're going to discuss soon. No, here it's not that it's not old enough. Here it's that...
No, not old enough. It has to come at
time. That's the point, that later on that day is going to be the time. Abai is saying, Mechusas Man doesn't apply in such a case.
When
part of the day is possible and the rest of the day is kosher, that's not considered Mechusas Man.
And therefore,
it won't be a problem even according to Ben Beseira. You could designate it in the morning, and you're good. That won't be considered Joffrey Meikra. Because later that day, itself, it's going to be cautious. Rav Papa. Remember, Rav Papa says, Afilu Tamei Me'udah. You could even answer that you designated it the night before or any previous time, because Laila in the Chos of Man. The night from the 13th going into the 14th, the night of the Tikkat Chametz, you could still designate it even then. Because I you're arguing that in the morning, so you're arguing in the morning, it's not going to be Nidcha. No, because Laila in Mechus Zman. The night is not considered a period when it's Mechus Zman. It's already considered to be kosher during the night. It's practically speaking, you can't bring Korbanos at night. So therefore, that doesn't make it be considered Mechus Zman. Mechus Zman would be if on this day it's possible to be brought as a Korban. Here, the night is not considered. But it is not considered yet part of the following day. In fact, when it comes to Kodshim, we say Halayla Ha'Lachachayim. The night follows the day. But therefore, the night from the 13th going into the 14th is not considered the beginning of the 14th when we'll argue with Mechus Zman. It's considered a continuation of the 13th. It's considered a continuation of And therefore it's not Mechus Zman, just like on the 13th. On the 13th, it's not Mechus Zman, because everybody agrees. It will become a shlomo. No, well, that's your puppet.
That's the night is not one.
Well, we're going to bring an opinion to that effect. But actually, the truth is, Tosfos actually discusses the point that Rav Papa himself, in a sugya at the beginning of Menachos, holds that there is such a thing as Mechus Zman L'Boi V'Yom. But there is such a thing where during the next 24 hours, it's Mechus Zman, later it's not going to be. The Tosfos just says we have to distinguish between here and there. Tosfos doesn't elaborate what the difference is, but the Tosfos doesn't elaborate over here what the difference is, but the Shitra Mekubetis brings over there, the difference is, there you're talking about that you did Avodah out of order, that you have an Avodah that was supposed to be done in the night, and another one that was supposed to be done during the day, and you did them out of order. So then we say Mechus Zman, where one depends on the other. Here we're just talking about that when it's not dependent on something else, it's only dependent on time, then Rav Papa would say it's not Mechus Zman. And we know that the night is not considered Mechus Zman. We know that from what we learn in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel and a Braita. Leil Shmini nichnas ladir lehisase. Now we know a kohen is not allowed to be brought. The animal cannot be less than 8 days old.
We're trying to bring a proof to show
that Laila is not Mechus Zman. Right. So it's like this. We know that an animal cannot be brought as a kohen if it's less than 8 days old. 8 days, we do it in the same way as 8 days for a bris milah, for example. So if the animal was born on Tuesday, then the next Tuesday is kosher as a carbon. But Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel says, Leil Shmini nichnas ladir lehisaseh. If you have, you're coming to do ma'aseh behema, you put all your newborn animals in a pen, and then they go out one by one, and you designate the tenth as ma'aseh. If you're doing it at night, and you have an animal that this is the eighth night since it was born, but it's not yet 8 full days, you also put it into the pen and count it towards Mitzvah. So in other words, the point is, if we would say Laila is Mechus Zman, you would say you wouldn't. The animal was born on Tuesday. You should have to say, if you're doing your Mitzvah behemoth the following week, Monday night, you should not put it in yet. It's Mechus Zman. It's not yet kosher of the carbon. The fact that Tonet Ve'ed Abishmal is saying you do shows that Laila is not Mechus Zman. Why? Because you can't bring carbonus by night anyway. Therefore, the next morning, when it's roy to be brought to the carbon, then it will be roy, because now that's the 8th day. So therefore, it's good. And we know that the chidur of Asteriki, and this works on the basis of what Rav Asteriki taught in how he pointed out that the psukim imply this point. The Rav Asteriki wrong, because Rav Asteriki pointed out on the face of it, you have a steer between two psukim. One pasuk says that an animal has to be 7 days, has to be able to be with his mother, implying 7 days. Olayla chazi, implying the following night it would already be roi to the carbon. So again, it was born on Tuesday. Then you have the 7th day is Monday. Monday night it's already roi. Wait. Uchtiv, but then you have that would mean then. So Monday, so fine, 7 days. So the night after Monday night, the Monday night already would be yeah. But then the pasuk continues only from the 8th day and onward is accepted as a carbon. Implying by the night it's not roi yet. So what is it? Shivat yomim, but miyom hashmini. What happens in that time in between? You have an what they call in the computer world an off by one error. Ha ketzad. So how do you reconcile these two halves of the pasuk? Laila l'kedusha v'yom la'atzah, he says, that teaches us, the night already, you're able to be makdush it. You're already able to designate it as a korban. Therefore, if it's ma'isa behema, then you put it in the pen with all the other ones. It could end up being designated as a tenth one. Therefore, in general, you can designate it as a korban pesach or anything else. The yom lahakrava, only the next day, is it that you can actually bring it as a korban, and then it'll be accepted as a korban. The point being, we see from that, laila is not machot zman. Even though by night it's not yet full 8 days old, nevertheless, it's already considered, it's going into the eighth day, you can already designate it. You can't offer it because you can't offer korbanos at night. But therefore it's not machot zman. So that's your papa's point, that ain't machot zman. By laila, therefore, by the same logic, then the seder can hold that you're able to designate the Korban Pesach on the night from the 13th going into the 14th. It won't be considered Mechus Uzman, even though at that point neither a Pesach nor a Shlomim according to Ben Beseira. The next day is already. It's not going to be Nidcha again because, like Abaya said, Ein Mechus Uzman LaBerbiyoy. Mechus Uzman doesn't apply when it's all on the same day, when later that day it's going to be kosher. Therefore, you're good.
One more question is the dichui. Can the dichui come after the shita or after the designation, the kedusha?
No. The point is, again, according to Ben Beseira, Rabbi Bo's assumption was that according to Ben Beseira, it's nidcha before the shita in the sense that now on the morning of Erev Pesach, you're not able to bring it as any kind of carbon. Whatever kind of carbon you try to bring it as, it's going to be possible. Wouldn't that be an example of nidcha? And if it really was... it means, in other words, it can't be shechted for any carbon.
Exactly.
Right, but it means even while it's alive, it's nidcha.
Is there an opinion that once it's designated, it cannot be... There's no dichui anymore?
Yes, and that's the next piece that we're going to discuss with you.
That's important. Well, that would make a difference.
Indeed. Omalei Rav Zera L'Rav Abo, so Rav Zera asked Rav Abo, Lema Kasava Rav Yechanan Baal HaChayim Nidchin. Does that mean the underlying assumption of your question is apparently that Rav Yechanan is saying that living animals that have not yet been shechted as a korban can be nidche, they can be disqualified and there's no coming back from it? Omalei Ein. So he says, yes, that is what Rav Yechanan holds. The Omer Rav Yechanan, because we see Rav Yechanan says in other places, Behema shal shnei shuktim. Suppose you have an animal that belongs to two partners. Hikdish chetia. Now, suppose one partner was masked. Now, the point is, in other words, if the animal was shechted, everybody agrees that there's a concept of nidchim.
Yeah.
And Rashi gives an example that, let's say, you have an example involving the karbonas of Yom Kippur. If, let's say, for example, so we know you have the two seirim that you make the girdle on. Let's say, for example, you have the one that goes l'ashem and the one that goes l'azol. What happens if the one La'azazel died before you had a chance to send it off to La'azazel? And by that point already, by the time you're sending it off already, the other one has already been shechted. So what happens? That's the point. So then what happens? So we don't say, therefore, okay, we'll get another replacement, sorry, Meshaleach, and we'll continue. No, we say, Yishofech Hadam, we have to throw out the blood of the Sari Lashem that was already shechted, and we have to bring two new animals and start over again with the girdle. So when the animal is shechted, there's no question that it's nidcha. The question would be, does Rav Yechanan hold the same thing applies to living animals? And the answer is that yes. So Rav Yechanan is saying like this. If you have an animal that belonged to two partners, hikdish chetia, so now suppose one partner was makdish his half. Now, the reason why it's important that belongs to two partners, Rashi says, is because if it belonged to only one person, then when he was makdish half of it, the other half would automatically become kodesh also. We have a general rule, which we'll learn about. We're going to talk about in Erchin, that's the Shem. We'll talk about cases where a person is makdish part of an animal. So it depends. If it's a limb, if he's makdish a limb, a part of the animal, that ain't an asham atzluya, by that the life of the animal doesn't depend on it, that you could conceivably cut it off and the animal will still be alive, then fine. Only that limb has kedusha. But if you do a dovash on a shamat liba, it's something that the life of the animal depends on, then the whole thing becomes kurdish. Half of the animal, obviously, can't live, only half an animal can't live, so therefore the whole thing would become kurdish. The only way that you're able to be makdish only half of it is where you don't own the other half. So he did that. Because of a lokachet, yeah, then what happened was he went and bought the other half of the animal, he bought out his partner's share, the hikdisha, and now he was makdish that half that he just bought. So Rabbi Yechanan says, kedusha, such an animal has kedusha, the eina preva, however, you cannot bring it as a korban.
There you go.
There you go. That's nidcha. But oisa tmura, Furthermore, says Rabbi Yochanan, such an animal is able to make a tzmura and is able to produce a tzmura. If you were to exchange it for another animal, then that tzmura would have the gene of a tzmura, as opposed to while it was owned by the partners, as we learned in as we learned previously in our Masechta, shutfim are not able to make a tzmura. Partners are not able to make a tzmura. Only a single owner is. And says Rabbi Yochanan, the tzmura will have exactly the same status as the original animal. Just like the original animal has kedusha, but can't be brought to the carbon because it's nivcha, the tzmura would have the same din. So, ushma min aflas. So, says Rav Abahu, you see three concepts that you learn from this statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Number one, shma min abalachayim nitchin. Number one, we see that Rabbi Yochanan holds that living animals can be nivcha. Now, if we were to say that not, and the Gemara mentioned in other places where we have the sugya, we have the opinion of Rav that says that not, balachayim ein nitchin. And by the way, even though usually when you have Rav and Rav Yechanan, the halacha is usually like Rav Yechanan, here not. Here actually in this, the halacha is like Rav.
That
balechayim ein nidchin, a living animal can never be nidchin.
So according to him, the whole discussion...
So according to him, right. But Richard, right. So that's why we're asking after according to Rav Yechanan. But yeah. So in other words, let's return now to Rav Yechanan. According to Rav Yechanan, this animal was nidcha in the beginning because this animal was nidcha because it could not be brought to the carbon because half of it was still holy. Therefore, he holds animals are able to be nidcha. Ushma mina dochui, the ikre have a dochui. Number two, we see, even though it's not a case where originally it was nidcha, where originally it was suitable for a korban, and later on something happened disqualified. Here it was disqualified to begin with, because only half of it became kurdish. And yet that's considered a dichui, which again, maybe not necessarily. Maybe you could argue, even if dichui is considered valid, if dichui is significant, maybe you could argue that only if it's nidcha v'nidcha, if it was qualified and then it became disqualified, then fine, it can't become re-qualified. Rabbi Yechanan holds that not. Rabbi Yechanan holds there's no distinction. Ushma mina, and a third thing. Well, in this case, whatever part of it was able to become Kaddish is Nidcha, but it was Nidcha to begin with. It's not that it was one time Nira and Nidcha. Ushma mina, and a third thing we see from what Rabbi Yechanan is saying, yesh dichui bedam. That dichui also applies not only to something that has Kedushas at Guf, but also to something that has Kedushas dam. Because what's the scenario over here? Here, this animal only has Kedushas Damin, because it's not able to get Kedushas that go up at the beginning, because half of it belongs to the other person. Of necessity, the only thing you would do with it, if they still own, never mind Tamura, at this point, the only thing normally you would do with it is you would sell it, and you'd use half the money to buy a carbon, and the other half would go, and the other half of the money would go to the owner. Yeah. So it's Kedushas Damin, and yet we say that it has enough Kedusha to be possible for Dichri. We don't say only when it has Kedushas that go.
So it's possible because it's dichui. Kosher for
Kedushas Damim. The point is, even though it only had Kedushas Damim is strong enough to be able to make it have the din of dichui, that therefore it will be nidcha, that even after now the other half has been bought out, that it will remain possible. In other words, if we were to say that, we could argue, if a korban has Kedushas, if an animal has Kedushas Damim, and has Kedushas that grew, and it became nidcha, or it was nidcha to begin with, then fine, then it will be possible to bring another carbon. You could argue maybe Kedushas Damim is not strong enough to be nidcha. No, Rabbi Yechanan is telling us even that is strong enough to be nidcha.
So Kedushas, when the goof is nidcha, then Kedushas Damim also?
In a case where dichui applies, it'll apply regardless whether to the animal itself. It'll apply regardless whether the animal has Kedushas that goof, or even only Kedushas Damim. Even though it only has Kedushas Damim, the dichui is enough to disqualify it from ever being brought to the Quran. Right. Now, Tosfos has a long discussion about, on the face of it, these last two things amount to the same thing. Why is it nidcha meikra? Because it only has Kedushas Damim. So the second and third things seem to amount to the same thing. But Tosfos has a long discussion about different possibilities. First of all, Tosfos points out you do have cases where you can have dichui without damim. Tosfos gives an example. Let's say, for example, you're shechting a korban. You take a basin to catch the blood. That basin, let's say, has water in it. So it starts out, the blood starts pouring into the basin. To begin with, it gets nisbatel in the water because there's too much water in there for the blood to be visible, that it's fossil. Later on, you have more blood coming in there, so therefore now it has the color of blood. There's no issue of damim versus guf over there. But there is an issue of dichui. So there you have an example where you can have dichui meikra because dichui meikra because to begin with it was flowing into water and it's not nira again, even though it has nothing to do with kedushas and guf versus kedushas dam. Okay, that's one explanation. Tosfos brings another explanation from Rabbeinu Chaim that dichui bedamim means that not only the animal itself is possible to ever bring another carbon, but even a tmura. This that Rabbi Yechanan said, that tmura will be the same status, that's what we mean by yesh yichud b'dam. That's strong enough to make that a tmura has the same din. Then Tosfos gets into a further long discussion. Well, this is one explanation that Tosfos is bringing. And Tosfos also gets into a whole long other explanation from Avinu Chananu. Yesh Juchri B'damim means that you're not even able to take the money afterwards and go and use it to buy another carbon. And Tosfos has a long discussion about the pros and cons of that opinion. Okay. Anyway. Fine. So again, all that is according to Rabbi Yechanan. Of course, again, according to Rav, there's no such thing as Rav will hold that. Fine, we can argue Dichui Me'ikra have a Dichui or not. We can argue whether Kedushas Damim or not. But Bali Chaim are never Nisha, says Rav.
Bali Chaim meaning?
Meaning living animals.
Right.
Living animals. Well, now that you mention it, actually, I think I've mentioned before when we discussed this concept, that there's a Siddush Avot, and as I said, we say in Davening, Laman Shimcha Hashem, Salach Salavini, Ki Rav U. So the simple meaning is Hashem, please forgive us our avodas, because they're very great. But those are the Siddush Avot, I don't remember from who, that says, we're saying to Hashem, forgive us our avodas, because you hold like that. Because Baal HaChaim and Nitzin, we're human beings, we're living creatures, therefore we can never be completely pushed away. Because the halacha is like that, after all. Okay, continuing on this topic. We say it many times in the Kibbutz Davening, but we say it every day. So we say it every day. So here's another din in connection with the concept of dichur. Ocho chaylev, suppose a person ate chaylev, where he has to bring a carbon, the hefresh carbon, so he designated an animal for a carbon, the hemir das, then he left Yiddishkeit, he became Meshumer, Rachmana Lachlan, or again, the Mumer, there can be two different kinds. There's Mumer, the Chola Torah Kula, where he gave up on Yiddishkeit at all and converted to another religion or whatever, or the Chasa Shalom, or you have Mumer, the Dover Echad, where let's say he decided from now on, I don't care, Chela, the Din of Chela doesn't apply to me anymore, and he habitually does it. Which, either way, at that point, he's possible to bring the carbon. We've learned before that a Mumer is possible to bring the carbon. By the way, they're in uncensored Gemara, instead of Behemer, it says they stammer. The censors, for whatever reason, didn't like the word Meshumah, didn't like the word Meshumah, so they changed it to Mumer. Yeah, okay, whatever. Okay. The Chazavai, then he did Shumah. So the question is, can that animal be brought to the carbon? No, says the Rechon, Hoyob Nidcha Yedacha, since the animal was pushed off, since it became disqualified from being brought to the carbon, because the owner was disqualified, being a Mumer, not to begin with. To begin with, it was Rod. This is a case of Nidha the Nidcha. This is a case where the animal, after he designated the carbon, yeah. So this is not, before we're talking doffing the ikra, where to begin with, when the animal was designated, it was already at that point possible because only half of it had been designated. Yeah, here we're talking about nira the nidha. It was nira first, and then it became nidha. Yeah. So there's a hoyo the nidha, yidacha. Once it was pushed off, then it remains pushed off, and therefore that animal is disqualified to bring in the carbon. It's manami. In fact, we have another discussion like that also. Omer of Yirmiya, Omer of Abo, Omer of Yechanan. Here's another related case. Ocho chaylev behifresh carbon nishtata. If a person ate chaylev, we learned about all this in Sanhedrin as well, so it's relatively recent. If a person ate chaylev behifresh carbon, he designated a carbon vinishtata. Then he went crazy because of nishtata. We learned, yeah. Then later on, he became normal again. Again, and while he's a shoyter, the carbon cannot be brought because the carbon has to be brought with a tzoynoi. It has to be brought that he knows about it. He has das. So therefore, again, again, since the carbon was pushed off, since it was disqualified at one point, then it remains disqualified. Okay, the Gemara says it's tricky. We need to be told both of these cases. Why is that? Because if you were only told the first case of the Meshumad, you would say, the reason it's possible, Meshumad, who doch in Nafshi Yadayim? Because he himself did something to push himself away. He became a mummer. It was his own choice. Therefore, you could argue that the carbon is nifcha. But in the case of the crazy person, the Mamela Itchi, it didn't do anything. It was something that happened to him. He had an epileptic fit or whatever. It wasn't his fault. Kiyoshin Gummy, maybe it should be considered as if he was sleeping, which shouldn't possible the carbon. Obviously, the person designates the carbon one day and then he goes to sleep that night. It doesn't become possible overnight. The Yashmin and Hocha, on the other hand, if we were told only about the crazy person, the difference is from the NBRD last. The difference is fine. It wasn't his fault. But once he became crazy, he doesn't have the ability on his own to become normal again. As opposed to Abel Hachava, when it comes to the Meshumad, the Yesh the Yodi Lach. So he has the ability at any time to do Tshuva. Aim a law, you would think maybe that's not considered Dichui. Tzricha, and therefore we need both cases. Therefore we need to be told that Rabbi Yechanan holds his din in both cases.
So what happens is if initially he's not a mu'mer, then he becomes a mu'mer, and then he changes his mind and comes back to Yiddishkeit. What happens?
So then fine. If he didn't designate the korban, yes, then fine.
Once he
designated the korban, says Rav Yechanan, the korban is going to be possible. Again, the halacha is like that, which is not like that, but Baal HaChaim in the sense. Right. Well, at least when it comes to Baal HaChaim. Boy Rav Yirmiyah. So now Rav Yirmiyah asks you the scenario as follows. Let's say a person ate chela. He designated an animal for a korban. Now suppose the Sanhedrin paskin that this type of chela is mutter. Now, at that point, the korban is nidcha. Because, as we learned in Hodias, if he follows Beisdin in doing a certain thing, then he's potter. And Bechlal, as far as he knows, there's no Aveda anymore. The Chosrubahem then basically changed their mind and said, we made a mistake, this Chalev is after all. So, Mahu, what's the deal? Me have a Dichui or Eloi have a Dichui. Do we consider, is this an example of Dichui or not? Is it considered that the Korban was Nidcha or not?
Yes.
Well, we could argue either way. Because on the face of it, you could argue that he was different because Beisdin made a mistake. So therefore, it turns out it wasn't really Nidcha in the first place because it turns out the whole thing was based on a mistake. But maybe not. Yeah. Amalei Ahu Sava, so a certain old person answers him, doesn't say, but some of the Mepharshim say that it can mean a Yahweh Nabi, yes. But not always, maybe, but yes, sometimes. Okay. Anyway, so a certain old Talmud Chacham answers him. You should know something. Pasuk Rav Yochanan b'dichuyin, when Rav Yochanan started giving a shiur about the whole concept of dichuy, mehal pasuk, he started with that exact scenario where he said that's an example of dichuy. So yes, it's an example of dichuy. My timer. Now, why is that? Why is it so obvious that so obvious that should be nidcha? Because Hosam gaver. Wait, I'll explain. We'll point to Rashi versus the point of Tosfos this way. Why is it so obvious? Hosam gaver idchi korban laidchi. Because in the case of the mumer or in the case of the crazy person, that nothing actually happened to the korban itself. The korban is still the same animal that it was before. It's the person who changed. It's the person who was nidcha. So there's less reason to think that it should be nidcha. And even there, Rav Yechanan is saying he's still nidcha and the korban is false. Here, the korban itself is nidcha in the sense that during the time when based in pasuk in this, then the korban is not going to be brought to the korban at all. So therefore, it's even less of a chiddush. So therefore, we started with that because that's like a more obvious case. Tosfos learns the other way around, actually. Tosfos learns that what Rabbi Yochanan was, he started with this one because of the less obvious case. He started with a less obvious case where you would think because it was only based on a mistake. So therefore, it should be okay, as opposed to in those cases, the korban was definitely nidcha because he was a shoiter or he was a mummer, and therefore there's no mistake over there. He's definitely kosher. Yeah. Okay. Getting back to, we said in the Mishnah, Omer Shimon ben Azai mekublanim kishirun shnayim zokin fuller. We said that ben Azai said, I learned from the 72 zokin that all korbanos that are nechol, that are eaten, are possible for shalom v'shmai, meaning that he adds the olos of list pesach and matzah. So the question is, lomelim v'mitzna shivu shnayim zokin, why use the expression 72 zokin? Zokin is in singular form, it should say shivu v'shmai zokin. The answer is, the kula b'chodah shitza havokayim. The Mishnah wants to inform us, and Ben Azai wants to inform us, that they all had the same shitza. They were all sitting together, and they all agreed to it unanimously. Alderach, like we find, there's a famous thing that says that when Yaakov and his family goes down to Mitzrayim, they're described as Shivim Nefesh, because even though there are 70 of them, they're all agreeable, they all serve one Hashem, as opposed to when Esav picks up his family and moves to Seir, from there to Seir, they're described as him not Shoyzvei, the souls, plural, of his family, because each one of them worships a different Geshke. So therefore, by the same logic over here, we use the word Zokin to imply that they were all unanimous. Then we said, Lehosef ben Azai el Ola. So we said, what is Ben Azai coming to add? He's coming to add that an Ola that was shechted Shalol Lishmo is also possible. Amr of Hunan my time is Ben Azai. So what's Ben Azai meaning? Like this. So the Pasuk says, Ola hu ishe reach nechayach Hashem. The Pasuk says, it is an Ola. It's a fire offering. Yeah, we said the word hu means that it has to be the Shvai. It's a fire offering that should be a sweet smell or a pleasant smell for Hashem, implying he Lishmo ksheda Shalol Lishmo Sola, only if it was Lishmo it's kosher, and if not, then it's possible.
The
Chachamim would say. The answer is Oshem. So the question is, according to Ben Azai, Oshem Namik Sidbehu. Okay, but by an Oshem it also says the word Hu. And yet Ben Azai does not hold like Rabbi Yehuda that it's possible Shalom Shmoy. The answer is Abu Lachdach Lachdach Torah Emorim would have been. Yes, but as we said before, the word who by an Oshem is only after the Emorim are offered, and the Emorim don't have to be offered on the Mizbeach for the Korban to be kosher. It's already kosher before that. Okay, the question is, Hai Nami Lachdach Torah Emorim would have been. Okay, but in the case of the Oloid also, where does it say the word Olovim when you're burning the pieces on the Mizbeach? The same thing. The answer is when it comes to an Ola, there's two different places where it says the word who. One in Parshas Vayikra and one earlier in Parshas Tetzaveh where it mentions the Ola that was brought as part of the Miluim, where it also says the word Ola who. So the point is fine. By both of them it says when they're burning the Emorim. But since we don't need it to say it twice, so one of them is in Eina Inyan Lazer, Tnei Inyan Lazer. Therefore, we can use one of them to douch, and then it means
one is for the Emorim.
So one tells us a different din, which therefore it has nothing to do with whether the korban is the Shmoy or not. It would teach us some other din. And the other one we would use to teach us that if you shecht it, Shalom, the Shmoy, it's possible.
The other din being what?
The other din we don't know, but we're not dealing with it right now. But yeah. Fine. The question is, Gavi Oshem Nam Trei Uktivi. Okay, by that logic, you could also argue by the Oshem. It says twice who, one in Vayikra and one in Tzav. Same thing. You could argue one of them teaches us. Yeah. So no, that doesn't work. Ben Azai is not learning it from a pasuk. Ela Ben Azai b'kav ha'chomer ma'isulah. Rather, we're going to say Ben Azai is learning it from a kav ha'chomer. Uma chatas she'en ha'kolo, madach ha'chatas, which is not. Well, yes, a chatas is not completely burnt on the Mizbeach, and yet, shocht the shalai l'shma p'sola, yet, if you shecht it shalai l'shma p'sola, as we said before, oila, she kolo, so an oila, which is stronger because it's burnt completely on the Mizbeach, loy koshkin, how much more so that it should not be, that it should be called shalai l'shma. So, of course, the obvious question, ma l'chatas shekein mechaperet, how can you prove a chatas has, on the other hand, a chumra, that's mechaper, in a way that an oila is not, because mechaper on F's that involve kari. The answer is Pesach Yechiach. Okay, proof from the Pesach. It's not Mechaper either, and Shalom the Shmar is possible. You'd argue Malah Pesach Shekin is Man and Kavua, but the Pesach has a special feature that has a fixed time to bring it, only Erev Pesach afternoon. Okay, the answer is Chatas Yechiach. Go back to Chatas. The Chazer Adin, so it goes back and forth. Loi Re'izek Re'izev, Loi Re'izek Re'izev. Atzada Shalom Shebehen, what do they have in common? Chain Kodshim. Both the Chatas and the Pesach are Kodshim, and not even Kodshim of one type. One's Kodshim Kalim, one's Kodshim Kodshim. The Shocht and Shalom Shmon Possel. So if you Shecht them Shalom Shmon Possel, Afani, or the Oila. Therefore, you can also bring in the Oila, she Kodshim, Shocht and Shalom Shmon Possel. So therefore, you can also bring in the Oila that'll have the same deep.
Which is also a Kodshim.
Okay, the question is, Mala Sada Shava Shabahan Shakane Yeshban Sat Kore. But you could argue, a Pesach and a Chatas both have in common that there's something involving Kore. A Chatas is brought to Averis that involves Kore. A Pesach is, if you don't bring in this right time, you have Kore. So what are you going to do with that? Yes. The answer is, Ben Azai Sat Kore Slay Parech. Ben Azai is not concerned about that, Pirukha. So he says, the fact of the matter is, it's not the same thing. They both have a relationship to Kore, it's true, but it's a different relationship. One is that you're bringing it for something that's chayav kares, but you're not chayav kares if you don't bring a chatas. The other is if you don't bring it, you're chayav kares, but a pesach is not mechaper for things that are kares. Yeah, they both have something to do with kares, but it's a different kind of something, therefore I don't care about that.
The connection to kares
is different in each case. Hey, the question is also...
Chatas, if you don't bring it, you're kares.
No, a person is chayav, a person did something that's amazing, he's chayav kares. He did it for shogi. If he doesn't bring a chatas, he's going to get yisturim. But there's no kares for not being a chatas. No, if you did that bigger of the maze, you're not bringing a chatas anyway.
So the sugar you bring the chatas?
The maze, he gets curry.
Huh?
The maze, he gets curry. But if he doesn't bring the chatas, the maze, he doesn't get curry. Right. Yeah. Okay. The question is, Oshem Nami Laisi, fine. But still, why? If you're going to say that you're bringing in other kochim, then you should bring in also the Oshem, and yet he holds an Oshem is not. The answer is, Oshem Porich Malat Tadashab, Shabam Shakim Yeshin, and Sibu Kabayachim. Yes, but the difference is that he could say that an Oshem is not included because you could argue the difference is a Chatas, a Pesach, and an Ola are all brought by the Tzibur as well as by the Yom. Namely, a Chatas, you have such a thing as a Chatas in the Tzibur. An Ola, you have an Ola. But also, no, but fine, you have the Chatas brought as a part of every Korban Musaf, for example. Yeah. So you have a Chatas of the Tzibur. You have, and also on Yom Kippur, yeah. You have an Ola of the Tzibur, most of the Musafim and the Talmud and whatever. You have a Pesach. The Pesach is brought by Yechidim, but it's brought by the whole Jewish people together. So in certain ways, it has a din of a carbon sifur. For example, the fact that you bring up the Torah. An Oshem, there's no such thing as an Oshem of the sifur.
A Pesach is considered Yachid and
sifur. Yeah, it's considered like a kind of a hybrid. Yeah, in a way, it's a Yachid because every person brings it individually. But in a way, it's like a sifur. That's why you bring up the Torah and you bring it on Shabbat. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so that's one way of understanding it. Therefore, that Ben Azai is learning from a Kavah Chomer, from a Tzad HaShavah. Therefore, he includes Oilah, but does not include Asher. The Ibai saying, or another possibility, Tzad Koreis Nami Koreis. Maybe Ben Azai does agree that fine, asking Tzad Koreis is a valid thing, even though the Chachas and the Pesach have different ways of relating to Koreis. You could argue only they have relation to Koreis, and whereas an Asham and an Oilah don't. But Ben Azai, Gemara Gomerlo. However, Ben Azai learned the Kabbalah from the 72 Skenim, that's what it is. Even though, you could logically slog up the Kabbalah Chaimer, nevertheless you don't, and the Oilah is included. So the question, and the hard to come of Huna Kavachimer, the wise of Huna bringing a Kavachimer, Loy Amre, Elavachadid, the Talmidim. He only said that Kavachimer in order to sharpen his Talmidim, that they should figure out a way to slug up the Kavachimer, or that they should learn themselves to try and figure out Kavachimer and be sharp like Manasseh. But really, we would say that he just learned the Kabbalah from the 72 Skenim, and there's no logical reason that he says the Oilah should be included.